Interview and Job Search Strategies at Work, episode 23. And this one, I just want to really, I really want to be quick here. What I want to talk about, or just say, that's what I say, is about jobs with like Google and Facebook, for instance, right? Those two particularly. Those are, by the way, those are like awesome companies. So my research comes from what? My research comes from, I lived in the area for about 5 months when I was out there doing a project. This is last year. And also my research comes from YouTube, you know, and talking to people, physically talking to people who used to work in that area, who've done the Facebook interviews, who've done the Google interviews, who's worked at like places like Motorola, for instance. So here's the cool part about, I guess, working at Google, if I would say. The cool part is when you get there, Facebook and Google, right? When you get there, like let's say you park somewhere, there's a parking lot, not at Google or Facebook site, but maybe nearby. There's a bus service that it's Wi-Fi, right? So there's Wi-Fi on the bus. It's cushioned, it's air conditioned. You go to work, you're dropped off at Facebook, and you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner at these places. Free, right? It's free. That's the key, it's free. I mean, it's awesome. I've driven around like the campuses of Facebook and also Google, and they have like, I mean, it's no deal. There's a full-on kitchen, like on the backside where I drove around on Google's, for instance, right? There's trucks out there with food, you know, that delivering food like every day. It's like a college campus, right? Like you might have a cafeteria in a college, and they have to supply food every day. I'm sure they do a lot more meals than that, but yeah, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Google and Facebook. So, so that's the cool part. The other one is, if you want an oil change, they have a, like for instance at Facebook, with my own eyes I saw, there was a little tent they set up, and they will, you give the company your keys, your car, and they will change your oil for you while you're at work. Really? Really? That's like, thank you, appreciate it. Yeah, that's super, yeah, that's awesome. So, okay, so now the secondhand knowledge, right? Secondhand knowledge is this. You, first day on site, you arrive, you get there, your laptop, your computer, at your work desktop, your cubicle, if you will, it's ready for you. Oh, you need a bigger monitor, you need another monitor, or a dual monitor? Okay, we'll take care of you. The next day, it's there. Oh, I need papers, pens, pencils, whatever. Oh, there's a little cart that's in the aisle. Okay, just go and get what you want. I mean, that's it right there, literally. Really, that's it. Oh, you need snack? Okay, there's a snack room. You know, coffee, soda, chips, cookie, candy, probably little breakfast sandwiches. I know they didn't say that part, but I assume it's that. But they did say, you know, cookies, candy, chips, soda in the break room. Go ahead, just, okay, go. The meetings are catered. If you have to stay late, the meetings are catered. Like they will cater your meeting, meaning they bring in food at your meeting. Like, really? Like, that is so cool, by the way. Wow, that's, phew. Imagine what that does for your work environment. Like everything's, I'm here, I'm good, you know, I'm awesome. This is perfect, you know, why do I need to leave, right? So I don't know, this person didn't tell me about nap rooms, but I had read on the, or I saw on YouTube where they have nap rooms and massage rooms and places, like meditation rooms. I've seen that. Anyway, that's like, phew, wow. Yeah, that's the cool part, by the way, of living in that area and working in those places. So now the other thing, now the other side, right? Like, oh man, right. Okay, so here we go. Here's the downside. And I mean, this is obviously me looking at it from the outside, not me actually working there. And this is secondhand knowledge from working in another place, not Facebook and Google, but places like it, is this. In that area, people live an hour away. Some people live, you know, because the cost of living is like, wow, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of money to live in that area, nearby where you work at, right? And Facebook and Google and all that. Any rate, so a lot of folks live in like Sacramento, they live in Gilroy, they live in a little north of San Francisco, not San Francisco, north of that. They live in, well, I think that's Santa Rosa, I think that's the name of the city. They live in Livermore, that's near, not nearby, but it's, you know. So what they do is is there a train? I think there might be a train, but I know there's definitely a train from like Livermore to the nearby Google and Facebook, like a train, like there's a train, right? I mean, that you take to go to work. So the reason being, right, it's just a lot of traffic, right? And it's like, it's not because of the distance, or I mean, it doesn't take you like an hour distance wise. Well, no, yeah, it does take you an hour distance wise, but it'll take you a little longer, maybe hour and a half, or sometimes 2 hours, right? To get to work, going there, right? By traffic, sometimes, depending on what time of the day you go. And getting back, it's the same thing, you know, the amount of time to get back. So a lot of people, what they do is they take a train to, like, nearby Facebook. There's a bus station, I forget the name of the station, but there's a train station nearby where Facebook's at. And then Facebook will pick you up in their bus, company bus, this big, you know, nice plush bus. And they'll drive you to Facebook's campus. And they'll drop you off, right? And you get out and do your, you know, go to get your breakfast or whatever. I mean, imagine that. Everything is there. So what people do is sometimes they bring extra set of clothes, maybe workout clothes, because there's a gym there as well. And actually, matter of fact, behind Facebook, there's like this little like outdoor recreational thing. Like a, it's like a little, not a park, it's a little exercise park. It's like right behind Facebook's campus, actually, like right behind it. And Facebook's all different, the colors of the building, they're different, you know, different colors. The used to be the old Sun Microsystems building is what they bought. So if you look at if you go to the Facebook sign, if you're out there, and you look behind the Facebook sign, you'll see like a logo for like Sun Microsystems. They used to own that building. And it's right off of like, right over the bridge to the right there. That's where Facebook's at. Yeah, it's pretty nice. Across the street, I think they might have there's another facility they own. I know that. So the reason you're like, oh, why don't they work from home? Well, I don't know why they don't work from home, but I know that a lot of those places, and it's probably so because they're probably worried about intellectual property being compromised, right? So, you know, that's probably why everybody works there in the office. Not everybody, but for the most part, a lot of folks work in the office. They don't have that work from home thing. So that's probably the not so sexy side of it, basically, is this. You're there 5 days a week. So, you know, I mean, everything, you don't have to worry about anything. You're already, you're done. You're good. Everything is taken care of, your food and all that. And I know some places even have a daycare as well. So that's like about $2,000 a month, I think, what it costs for daycare. But, I mean, just imagine, right? Your person teaching you youngin' is working for Google and they're like a PhD or something, you know, I mean, like, wow, okay, cool, you know, they have all this knowledge and there's probably multiple of them, or they're teaching your youngin', okay, cool, that's a good deal, I think. Yeah, seems good, teaching them all kinds of nice math stuff and science, and maybe they're going to be, you know, a doctor or something like that, something really cool. Maybe even they're teaching programming. Wow, that'd be really cool too. You know, there's a lot of just things like that, right? I know that based on YouTube's research, that they have these, like, they work on projects. A lot of places in Google, they work on projects. So you might have project lead leadership, and they'll work on something. And it's not like a 9-to-5 or whatever, you know, I'm butt in seat. Okay, I'm butt in seat, you know. Even though you're working there, it's not a butt in seat. Okay, you're here, you go to lunch at 12 o'clock and you come back. I think from what I gather on YouTube, it's more of a, okay, just work on the project until you feel like you need to take a break. And then take a break. And then they, you know, of course, Wi-Fi everywhere in the building, right? And, you know, and if Google offered me a job, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how much they pay, right, basically. But, I'd entertain it, that's for sure. Heck yeah. I mean, why not? You have an opportunity to go to Google. What if Google or Facebook gave you a job, right? What kind of confidence would you have in yourself? Like, wow, you know? Because they not only have, like, IT jobs, but they have everything. Every kind of job you can think of, they have. You know, facilities, maintenance, whatever. They have that type of job. I'm sure they do. Because they need service. They need someone to, that's like, maybe it's a service-oriented job. Not that IT is not, but other service-oriented jobs. They'll just take care of other things for the people that work there. That's a job in itself right there. So, yeah, I mean, if either one of those companies offer me a job, I mean, wow, I think anybody really, like, wow, they offer me a job. Oh my gosh, I must be super special, because I hear they're really picky on who they hire, right? So that'd be, wow, what a confidence booster, right? For anybody, really. Yeah. The other thing, right, is your time. So they make it, you know, of course they're taking your time. Basically, you're working on-site, butt in seat. So they're going to give you some value for that. That's a lot. By the way, that's not all bad, by the way, if you think about it. Because just imagine other places like Chicago or St. Louis or someplace like that, for instance, right? I know, for instance, in St. Louis, there's not a lot of companies to do that type of stuff, to my knowledge. It's all foreign to them. Like, oh, well, you know, it's just expected that you're going to drive an hour or whatever time based on traffic, let's say, and you're going to work somewhere 9-to-5, and you're going to go home, and you're going to do it again, and you're going to do it 5 days a week. And there's no other benefits besides just the fact that you work there. Okay, you take it, you know, they might have, like, a bonus or company parking or something like that, but I'm sure they're not even close to touching Google. No way. I know MasterCard, they're in Missouri. I interviewed for them a couple years ago, actually. And we walk in and you go through this scanner, right? So you go through a scanner, right, and all that, and you're here and you get a badge, and then they take you into a room. Well, first they take you and they show you around the area, like they got a cafeteria, right? And I believe it's a pay-for-play, I want to say. I believe that's what it was at the time. And they take you up in the little conference room thing, right, and interview, right, and all that. And right behind their complex, it's a lake. There's a lake behind it. So you can see the lake and all that. I mean, it's a beautiful campus, by the way. It's such a nice campus. Really, really nice campus. And they're, to my knowledge, they're the only, not the only, but to my knowledge, that's one of the places that's really cool in this area to work for, you know. So that'd be probably it. But they don't compare to Google, no way, right? If you're gonna go for a job and anyway, you know, and you're gonna have travel an hour anyway, right? Why not have a job that you travel, you know, like 3 hours or 4 hours one day a week, where you work from home, basically like this. Let's say you live in Kansas City, Missouri, right? And you want to get a job, I don't know, let's say Omaha, Nebraska, or Omaha, or Iowa, one of those places. Maybe not Iowa, maybe Omaha, or even Topeka, Kansas, or, you know, wherever. Or even, let's say, Dallas and Austin, right? Dallas and Austin are 3 hours, roughly, I think, apart, something like that. So, you live in Austin, you know, and Austin's a nice place, by the way. Austin, Texas, that is. And you work in Dallas, and your company, you get paid, I don't know, 20,000-30,000 more, let's say, right? Maybe 40,000 more. And that company in Dallas is, they don't mind you work from home. So what you do is you say, okay, I'm going to work for you, but you have to approve this, of course, and you have to, before you even get the job, I think you negotiate this. You just kind of lay it out there, okay, this is what I want. And based on what they wanted, you know, and you can just come together. But don't say, I want this. Say, like, okay, this is what I was thinking. Like, basically, what you're doing is you're writing. So key is this. Write a piece of paper. Write the job description down. But write your name, like, what you want out of the job. And then hand it to them. Because sometimes what happens is your verbal, how you say it verbally, doesn't come across the same way as if they can sit down and read it. You know, write the job description as if this is what you want. So basically, like, let's say it's, I don't know, system engineer or help desk. Let's say help desk. Don't even go further than that. Help desk admin. And then write down, you know, for instance, you might put, like, working hours. You know, working hours will consist of working in office on site Monday, and then working from home Tuesday through Friday. Yeah, and then you know, put the working hours, right, something like that. And you know, yeah, that's a start. By the way, that's a start. So that's what I would say about that. Yeah. So back to the thing, right? You live in Austin, but you work in Dallas. So just maybe present to them, hey, I want to work in Dallas, and I'd like to work one day a week. And so that's at 3 hours, right? So basically, how cool is that? So basically, that's what, 6 hours a week? So if you work on a Monday, and what you can do is this. You can leave on a Sunday night, or a Sunday afternoon, let's say, and you can get an Airbnb or a hotel in the area, and they're like $80 a night, let's say, right? So you figure $80 a night for a hotel, and you check out of the hotel in the morning, and then you go to work, and then you leave from there to go home. So you're looking at $80 a week, right? So 52, let's say 50 weeks. 8 times 5 is 40, so $4,000 a year. So you're still making, if you're even making $20,000 a year extra, let's say, you're still profiting you're profiting $16,000, excuse me, on paper, not really, but on paper. And then, so now you think about how much time you give up. So a Sunday, but then also you get it back. Okay, now 6 hours. So then 6 hours is, you're driving 6 hours back and forth, right? So basically Sunday and Monday are pretty much, that whole Monday probably isn't, there's no productivity for you, other than maybe you can listen to podcasts on your way back from Dallas. Yeah. So if you had to work a regular job that you you travel 1 hour, let's say, that would be what? Every day 2 hours times five is 10 hours. So now what do you have? You have 6 hours versus 10 hours, right? For the same type of job, but you get to go home every day. So basically, those 4 hours, the 4 hours that you're giving up by working at a job nearby where you are home every day, that 4 hours, what is that 4 hours worth to you? How much money is that worth? So let's say you make $20 an hour, whatever. Well, 20 times four is $80. So that's the justification right there. So you're saving $80, but you're also spending it. So you kind of break even a little bit there, I guess. But you're still home Tuesday through Thursday or Friday, rather. So if you could, you know, think of the other time you save as well. If you work from home, when you know 4 days a week, when you get up in the morning, you take the kids to school or whatever, or in their homeschool, let's say, and you can be in your pajamas and work from home, you know, and you can wake up early, get a little work done, right? Take a break. And that's another thing that you probably want to lay out in your job description is from 7 to 9, you can say, like, in your job description, 7 to 9 a.m., I'm available. I'm not available for meetings because of whatever. But at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, I'm available for meetings. 11, you know. And just put it out. Really, really spell it out for them. So, because you don't want them guessing. Your new company, you want them guessing. And you want to let, because they're going to decide, they're just going to but they're going to, like, if you don't give them, like, they want to know, how do you work best? If you give them an idea, like, okay, this person works the best this way, you're really going to do them a lot of, you're going to do yourself a lot of good in them. You're going to help them out as well, because they don't know how you work. They don't know your mannerisms. Most companies think people, when they come in the office, okay, 8 to 5 or 8 to 4, they're working, and they take the hour lunch, but they're working the rest of the time. They don't see it any other different. They don't see it differently. They don't understand that people don't work that way, you know? They think, oh, you should just fit this mold like this or that, which doesn't work that way. You know, because some people, maybe they take a morning, they have to go to the John in the morning, and, you know, or whatever, and they have a certain time they do that. Well, they would know that because you would say in the job description you're going to give to them about the job, usually, you know, from this time 7 to 9, I'm not available on the phone, right? You could just say it that way. I'm available on the computer do work, but I'm not available to talk to anybody on the phone. Like, for instance, like, you could, why is that? What's the reason behind that? Maybe you're on the computer and you have a Wi-Fi, right? And you can take your computer anywhere with you. And, what other thing? Or even like, when you're taking the kids to school, you have an iPhone, let's say. Well, you can check your email when they're dropping off the kids at school. Maybe you have it where it's audio, you could, like, where you have a system where iPhone will read the messages to you when in your car, like urgent message, okay, you read it, you know, something like that. So it's like, say, for instance, 7 to 9, and then maybe, like, something like, you tell them, say, like, 3 to 4, you have something else to do, and you spell it out for them. That way they know, okay, this is what I can expect from the employee. I know how he or she works best. Because they know. Because you know yourself. They don't know you. You know yourself. And you're just telling them that. So getting back to my point, you know, working from home and traveling and all that stuff, if you make a lot more, like, how much, think of it like this. Draw a circle where you live, and then almost like a ripple effect, if you will. Almost like you're skipping rocks in a pond, and you know how those ripples go and go and go? Or you drop a rock in the water and the ripple effect happens? Same thing. You're living in a certain area. And how much would you need to earn to, like, for it to be feasible for you to work in a certain place? Like, how much would you need to earn in your where you currently live now to say, okay, I'm going to travel 3 hours one day a week for a job? How much money do you need for that to make happen? How much money does that make it sense? Maybe, for instance, maybe you make $10 an hour. Well, you need to live, you know, you need to make at least $12 an hour, you know, to work 30 minutes away to make it even break even for you. Because that's an hour, you know, each time. That way you don't have to worry about it. It just makes it easier for you. Versus if you're working 2 minutes away, how much would you need to make? Make $10 an hour. Is it really worth you jumping ship to another job to make a dollar extra an hour? Because the company's like, well, you only get 10, we're going to give you 11. Is it really worth you, like, leaving your established job and your credibility? Because when you leave a company, you're giving up a lot of credibility because they don't know you. The new company doesn't know you. And what if the personalities don't work out? What if there's, you know, someone who's like, you know, a neener butt or whatever? They're like, you know, they're aggressive. They haven't led people. They're a manager, not a leader, you know? And you're like, oh, what's going on? And you don't know if you say the wrong thing to him or her. You don't know if they're sensitive, if their ego is sensitive. You don't know their upbringing. You don't know, maybe they were just put in that position because they're the manager's relative or something, or the CEO's relative. You just don't know. You would know that if you did your homework on the company. If you do your homework on a company, when you go from $10 an hour to $11 an hour, then you'll be doing the same thing when you go making from $30 an hour to $40 an hour. You're going to be doing the same thing, you know, the same type of research for a company. For me, okay, do I want to work another place to make an extra, I don't know, $10,000 a year, let's say, or can I just stay where I'm at, and then I have credibility, I have respect from my peers and my colleagues, the work is nice. You know, as long as you feel like you're moving forward. I can remember working at a place, and it was they did service mounting technology, so they put chips, small little chips on these small boards. And the boards went into like a device for like a CPAP device. That's like a breathing machine device thing that for people that have sleep apnea. Anyway, so this device, what I did my job was this. My job was to take the board and test it. I have a little test board thing, and I tested the board. And I remember distinctly being in the lunchroom, and it was lunchtime. Now, by the way, this is kind of like a factory type of job, sort of. At any rate, I was in the lunchroom. Not lunchroom, it's just an open area with, you know, and what happened was somebody brought in donuts one time, and they were free. And I really remember this distinctly. One of the guys' name, I think his name was, I forget his name. Anyway, but I do remember that. I remember distinctly. I just don't remember the guy's name. Him saying, there were, you know, free donuts, right? And then him saying, like, well, they don't have something like this, or forget what it was, like sprinkles donuts. And I remember thinking to myself, this guy is complaining about free, you know? And I was like, wow, that's amazing to me. And just not only him, but general tone, a lot of the folks there, what in the lunchroom, they just talk about just nonsense stuff, dude. Like not talking about, like, how can we earn more money? How can we get a better job? How can we actually improve the company we're at now? You know, what can we do to make our lives better here? Maybe you can help the company out. I know that's probably not the way people think, but it's so much easier to think that way than to think, well, maybe not for them, but in my mind, it's like, let's think of an idea so I can do less work at work. So the company, you know, there's a process that we can improve, but I don't have to do this anymore, you know, that's make it simpler for me. I don't want to do this hard labor. Let's just make it automated. How can we make it automated where I have less work to do, you know? Yeah, I remember talking to one of the folks there. He was a high-level leader in the company. And he was also like a technical manager, if you will. Project manager. Now I know it to be a project manager. Back then it was something else. But anyway, I was talking to him and I said, because the solder wave that we had, there was no cover on the, there was some sort of, there was a exhaust. There was no cover on and around it to just muffle the sound, right? And I remember talking to him about that, and I said, it would be nice if you could, we had like a sound muffler where you could deaden the sound a little bit for that fan, the fan that sucks all the air out, for that solder wave, right? Because a solder wave, it's basically solder, right? It's a wave of solder. And then what it does is it solders the boards underneath it, and it's just like a conveyor looking thing where the boards will move over it and it'll solder the underneath of the board, and it has it's just faster that way than if you do it manually. You know, you solder a board manually. At any rate, he goes, you know, if you don't mind, can you put that in a PowerPoint or something that I can present to the company? And I said, oh, I'm just telling you about it, you know, and he said, oh yeah, can you, and I, okay, you know, and I didn't have, you know, at the time I didn't, I was like, okay, and I didn't do anything with it, you know, why? Because I was like, I didn't think of like, okay, that's, you know, I just thought, okay, I'd tell him, and that'd be the end of it. What I didn't realize is, him telling my idea to somebody else, what he was trying to do, he was trying to help me be a better, a worker so that I could get the recognition that I need. So basically what would it have done for me had I gone to the leadership with that idea and they said, oh, that's a really good idea. We're going to implement that. Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, yeah. So that would have been to me like, oh, wow, my ideas are worth something. So I see that now. What he was trying to do is he was trying to help me out by me give him that, you know, the idea in a digital form or a piece of paper writing down or whatever. And then so he could go and show it to his management and they could bring me in and say, yeah, this is the person with the great idea. And then they could shake my hand and, you know, just say good job. And like, then my like, wow, I'm valued here, right? Like, you know, this, because I imagine that some companies have their ear to the ground and they know their employees like, they don't like it there or whatever, but they don't know, they don't have an idea, they don't want to like piss anybody off and tell them, hey, you guys need to create more ideas for us so we can make money. No, that never works. People are like, you know, you guys are taking my time, I'm not gonna, you know, care about the company, because they think like, okay, a lot of people think of companies as like, when they work there, they think like, I'm a 9-to-5, I'm out of here, I'm going back home. But they don't realize that if they know a process, they can make it better. The company's going to like really appreciate that. If they don't, they're not a good company. You know, if they don't appreciate that, they're not a good company. Maybe work for another company. Don't stay there. If they're like, all ideas come from me only, you know, if you're a company and you, for instance, let me just talk to a company who's listening to this. If you're a company and you think that your idea is the only way to do it, you're wrong. You're 1,000% wrong. Your employees are the best asset you have.
On that note, thank you for viewing this episode and have a great day.